What's going on, folks? Welcome to Got Your Back, NHL edition, LeBron, Rashog, and MJ. Yes, Mike Johnson, right from between the benches during that mayhem last night in the Leafs game to our Got Your Back podcast this morning. Looking forward to breaking down that one with Johnny, among other things. A reminder that Got Your Back NHL is brought to you by our great friends at Kuma Outdoor Gear, our title sponsor. They've got a wide range of gear to fit all your outdoor needs, from tents and sleeping bags, travel games and pet products and drinkware. And of course, we talk about it every week, that amazing Switchback heated chair, the world's first heated chair powered by Bluetooth technology. It's got an insulated cup holder on one side and a wine glass holder on the other. Conversation over, best chair ever. Kuma Gear is available across North America. Go to KumaOutdoorGear.com. As we say hello to Mike Johnson and Pierre LeBrun. The Florida Panthers, Johnny, have been involved in some interesting hockey over the last few days. And you, my friend, stuffed right into the middle of last night's game against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And just give us a, for those that didn't see, a quick rundown of what the heck happened in that shootout.
So I've never seen anything like it before. And first off, we'll say the call was right. They got to the right call, but Evan Rodriguez going for Florida, shot to win. So he makes a move, Beanpot stops up, tries to slide it under Wohl's pad, goes in, he gives the big fist pump. They're celebrating, 2-1 win, really good game, physical game. They're bolting out of there. Like, you know what it's like, you're on the road, you're big at the big win. Let's get in the room, we're out of here. The benches, the coaches file down the room, and all of a sudden the referees are taking a quick look. And the rules very clearly state you can't put in a rebound on a penalty shot. Now, a rebound only needs to be this big. Like, it just has to hit the equipment, come back towards the player, and then have him hit it again, a double touch. Like we all see in Pierre LeBrun chip the ball in golf. It's like a double hit. It's like that. Right. Like, you get it twice in a row quickly. So
sometimes a triple.
Yeah, that's right. It could be me. But that's what it ended up being. It was a very clear look. It bounced off the pad briefly and by 2 inches, Rodriguez then stuffed it underneath. So now they make the ruling. Again, Toronto, the lower bowl is empty. Everyone stormed out of there in disgust. Ah, Leafs, they're brutal. They're all trying to rush back in. You have Joseph Wall, who made a beeline for the dressing room. He probably had some gear off. He had to get dressed, come back out there. The Panthers had to come back on the bench, reset everything. And then the Leafs go with Noah Gregor, of all people, scoring a goal. And then Nick Cousins hitting the crossbar. Leafs win the game. A minute after, Florida was in the dressing room celebrating having won the game. I don't remember seeing a game-winning goal reversed that way, but it was the right call. It caught people off guard. It was actually fun. Leafs, Panthers, I don't care. It was just like, you know, I'm for Team Chaos always. And that felt very Team Chaos.
Yeah, Panthers look dangerous, by the way. I mean, it's amazing to me, completely off topic, that they survived those top four injuries to Ekblad and Montour. Now here they come again. They could win the cup. That's how good they are. I didn't like that call in the shootout. Like, the shootout's already a joke anyway, so I guess let's just keep going with it. But, like, that's – I get it by the rule, but this is why the shootout can never come into the playoffs. Like, that's just so ridiculous, that entire scene last night. By the way, Paul Maurice's post-game scrum that I just watched online before we came on. Another classic from Paul Maurice when he got called about, when he got asked about all this. Woo! A couple of F-bombs and some tongue-in-cheek and, yeah.
Coach was a little sour back there, but the players were good. Players handled it better than the coach.
You ever seen like a two-touch?
Have not seen that, especially that fast. Now, you know what? I do think it's important that they have rules. Oh,
it's important that we have them.
Because there's no other way to do that, right? Because if he rips it off the guy and it goes off his shin pad and it goes in, is that a goal? That happens so fast. So it wasn't. Yeah, it's important we have rules. Just go with that, Steve.
I'll just say this. Yeah, he was gold. He's always gold, especially when he comes through Canada. But Pierre, he shot in a rebound. It's not a joke. Like, if it was 6 inches, it was a foot. Yeah. Like, how big of a rebound could you put in? How many shots are you going to get on a power on a penalty shot? That's the right. It's got to be the right call.
I know, but the shootout already to me is just like, I would eliminate the shootout, so it's hard for me to get like in the weeds on this.
We're into this is like trying to talk to Pierre about the All-Star game. The shootout stuff. Like, he just checks like NHL out. Logic doesn't matter.
The NHL announced this week we've expanded the Toronto All-Star weekend to an extra day. Wow, the world's most boring event now has another day. That is great.
Oh, boy.
How am I going to skip an event that's in my town is what I want to know. I have to be creative in my efforts to somehow not cover All-Star Weekend when it is literally blocks away from my house.
Pierre, it's like the one 3 or 4 days a year we get to hang out and spend together, because I generally get to do the All-Star game and I always look forward to seeing you, bud. And I just feel like you're not happy to be around me.
I haven't gone in 5 years, so you're
so you've been able to get out of it. Well, we'll take note. If you can get out of the All-Star game with it being in your own town, that's going to be some quiet quitting on a different level, bud. That's impressive.
Leave it to me.
Yeah, exactly. He's on the case. All right, guys, let's get to the breakdown. And, of course, brought to you by our title sponsors, Kuma Outdoor Gear. I'm dragging my arse around a little this morning because I was late at an Oilers game last night. Headline here. I'm not sure if the Oilers are back, but I know Connor McDavid is, Johnny. This guy has rediscovered whatever was eluding his game. It's in the hands. It's in the feet. And as I was watching him last night, clearly right back up to speed again, I'm going, oh, yeah, that's what that looks like. Because we hadn't seen it since – we had not seen it yet this year. And it's like, oh, yeah, there it is.
It's amazing, and it's so befuddling, like how it sort of disappeared. It's the easiest, most obvious answer, which he will never cop to, is that he was hurt.
He was hurt.
Like there's something physically wrong with him that was prohibiting him from being the guy that he is, the guy that he was last year, the guy that he's been the last few weeks, to the point where I was watching it overtime and I was mad at Evan Bouchard for missing the backdoor tap in because I want him to get 4 points again. Like, I'm like, come on, you got to put that thing in there. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing to think where he was 3 games ago, 4 games ago in the scoring list, whatever it was, 75th, way down there. And now after 12 points in 3 games, which, no joke, good players, Shaggy, would get 12 points in 2 months. Yeah. In 2 months, he did it in 5 days. And he's just flying through people. And for everyone who said, yeah, but it was Anaheim. Anaheim's not very good. And yeah, I was on the power play and Washington. Well, this was Vegas. They're supposed to be pretty good. They're supposed to be able to defend pretty well. And he was flying around. They had no real answer for them. So it's amazing to think that physically, yes. But Pierre, even the best player in the world, you wonder if there's like some element of confidence in how he feels about his game, the results he's getting, the way the team's going. And now that the team's winning and he's producing, he just feels better about himself, even though he's already the greatest player in the world. And I don't know if everything's right in Edmonton, but they're certainly back on track. And we saw Calgary get right back at the playoff chase. Edmonton's on their way there as well. But yeah, I McDavid, when he's playing like this, your mind are like, there's not much you can do with him.
Well, the crazy thing is the Oilers are 5 points out of a playoff spot this morning. So for a team that didn't win for a month,
that's nuts.
It just shows you again. I told you guys this a couple of weeks ago, the bottom end of that Western playoff bracket is not what we're used to. But anyway, you asked me about Connor McDavid's confidence. Obviously I haven't had a chance to see the Oilers yet in person, so I haven't asked him, but I can tell you this. I'll never forget once. Remember years ago when Sidney Crosby was at the Apex, honestly, blowing everyone away in the Art Ross. And he had this weird October once where people freaked out. He just couldn't put the puck in the net, couldn't get points. And everyone's like, what's wrong with Sid? And I remember sitting down with him at the team hotel in Toronto and doing an interview with him. And he was like, yeah, I lost my confidence right now. And I just remember going, you're the best player in the world. Like, how could that happen? And obviously, we know the rest of the story. He got out of it and became the most dominant player in the league again. But, you know, everyone has their confidence a bit hit at times. And I don't know if he said it exactly that way, but something having to do with confidence. And I remember thinking, okay, well, if that can happen to him, it can happen to everyone. I'm sure. I bet you it did happen with Connor McDavid for a while. especially when you pile on, you know, Leon and I have to carry this team and this is weighing on us and this is a disaster and we just had our coach fired. Mm-hmm. That certainly would make it worse. But they look back on track right now.
Yeah, and Leon Draisaitl talked about confidence too, admitted that, of course, they're subject to the same thing that your average player would be when it's not there. You struggle a little bit. But although Evander Kane, I said to Evander Kane post-game last night, because he's piling in the goals right now, I said, where's your confidence at? And he looked at me and goes, where he usually is. which I thought was pretty funny. Standing there in just this super bright, unreal purple suit that was like, whoa, he came walking into the locker room for postgame last night and then where it usually is. I thought that was a pretty baller moment from Evander Kane. So there is some confidence and some swagger that's re-injected back into that Oilers room. Signs, though, that this is real, Johnny, because the last time they won three in a row, guess what they did? Went on the road and lost three in a row, and they were right back in the muck, and the pressure was right back on. But when you look at the number of things that have turned around, right, their penalty kill has been on fire, spectacular the last four games. And really, since Mark Stewart took over when Chris Knobloch came in, you got to give him a lot of credit. The power play has tightened up, and we're not hearing constantly about individual mistakes that are killing them, Johnny. Like, these were some sicknesses in their game, and a lot of them have been healed, that leads you to believe maybe this is for real?
Listen, the Oilers were an attractive pick to go deep in the playoffs by some of us earlier this year, right? For a reason. They are a good team when they play well. It was shocking to see how poorly they went with the results. But even when they're getting the results, remind ourselves that the process stats for the Oilers were actually quite strong, even though they were losing all those games. So some of that is writing itself, but some of it's confidence. But you're right. The big miss, which was killing the Edmonton Oilers, the big mistake, the bad pinch, they gave up a 3-on-1, a turnover in the wrong place, they gave up a 2-on-1, that kind of stuff, they've really limited in their game, which gives them a chance to just play normally and allow their good roster to win games for them. Obviously, when Leon and Connor are going, it's a different animal altogether. It just really feeds the way that entire team feels about themselves. And the goaltending has gotten a bit better. Still question marks there a little bit. But like last night's game, sure, it ended up 4-4, I think, and then into overtime. But the Oilers, with a lead in the third period, completely controlled play. Even though they gave up a 2-goal lead, it's not like they were in their own end. That, to me, is indicative of a team that is trending in the right direction and believes in themselves and have found how they want to play against a really good opponent, Pierre, that they are able, even with a lead, to control play. Forget about the fact that they gave it up. They played the way you'd like to play with a lead in the third period against the defending Stanley Cup champs. Yeah, I think there are a lot of elements to their game that would tell you this looks promising and sustainable.
And again, the two teams, as of this morning, that they're chasing for the playoff spot or spots, the last two, I don't know if standings in front of me, I believe, is Nashville and Arizona. And I'm not, listen, Arizona's on the rise after all these years, and a retooling Nashville team that is gritty, but 5 points out of those teams. We mentioned the Cup champs. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't have a quick comment there. We had Bruce Cassidy on last week, Ryan, and I wrote a piece about it too for The Athletic Monday. They've done a really good job coming out of the gates and fighting the hangover. But, and again, they came back, got a point last night, got a point in Calgary. They've now only won 4 of their last 12 games. I just checked before we came on air. So now some
overtime points. They've been shut out a bunch too.
Yeah, some overtime points in there, but I believe they got 4 wins, 3 overtime losses, and 5 losses. So 4, 5, and 3 in those 4 games. So it's not, but it feels, you know, Kelly McCrimmon, I remember about a month ago, said, yeah, we're off to a great start, but, you know, it may be that we hit a flat spot at some point. I think they're hitting that flat spot, which is just, that's just being human beings after not having a summer, right? So I think they'll be fine, and they're a great team, but it's a little harder right now for them.
Johnny, thought on Vegas?
Well, I mean, I think the teams that stormed out of the gates, Vegas, Boston, both are very good. Both have a lot of things to admire, but they were both on unsustainable PDO benders where their goaltending was crazy. They're shooting 14%. Like, you know, they would tell you it's not going to last forever. Kelly McCrimmon told you it's not going to last forever, whether it's emotional, physical, or mathematical. Like, it's going to even itself out, and doesn't mean they're not good, but it means they were going to lose some games. They were not going to go 70-12. They're not the Golden State Warriors. Like, this is not how it works in hockey. So I think a lot of it is just the ebbs and the flows. A lot of it is probably emotional and human with regards to their long playoff run. They will be fine when they get back to it. But yeah, like, this is how it goes. And maybe the Oilers hit their skid before they hit a good one, right? And where it felt way worse than it actually was. And it's sort of regressing to a more normal place, which is better. Vegas probably not quite as good as they were, regressing to a normal, more normal place, Pierre, where they're good, but they're not the greatest team in the history of the league.
And the team that very few people are really talking about, that arguably now, if you include the last few weeks, like the entire year, that's been the most consistent, is the LA Kings. I mean, yeah. LA Kings just win every
look
night.
Out.
They just win every night, and it's like, they're you know, no one talk about the Kings. You know, Vegas are the cup champs, and the Oilers are struggling. Kings are just doing their thing over there. They look good. I mean,
And I'm seeing 19 games on their schedule that they've played so far. Vancouver and Vegas are at 23 each, I'm seeing. So Vegas or Los Angeles with a 763.
That's why you go by points percentage. Yeah, the Kings are first in the division.
Yeah, they're playing unreal right now. Okay, guys, let's get to the Chicago stuff. Not going to dignify the mess on social media through this process with any sort of discussion about that. Let's push forward to Kyle Davidson and his press conference. Pierre, there seemed a dissatisfaction about the lack of detail that was presented, as though because of their history here in the Kyle Beach scenario, that the Hawks somehow owed the hockey world more specifics and more details. Could not disagree more. It would seem to me that the Blackhawks are doing what they can to say what they can, take the right actions internally, and, you know, at each step of the way here, Kyle Davidson is presenting like they're taking this extremely seriously. They don't owe the hockey world a ton of detail at this point. I'm sure there are lawyers involved here.
Yeah, that's basically what we think is going on. And again, I have people coming out to me in hockey rinks saying, you know, what's the real story? Got to be really careful. We obviously, there are things that we're hearing. We're asking questions. We're trying to get things confirmed. You know, there are things that still have to play out here. And can I just say that people should not be joking around with this stuff? Like, just, you know, the Hawks can't share everything right now because some of these things I think still have to play out. You know, you could tell the emotion in Kyle Davidson at his presser, how much this is taking a toll on him. I did ask Bill Daly, the NHL deputy commissioner, I said, well, is the league going to get involved now and have an investigation or look into it? Or does the league consider it still a team matter? And his response was that the Blackhawks have been very transparent in this about all the relevant circumstances, you know, end of quote. So the league so far is okay with the way the Hawks have handled it, which is, you know, not insignificant as far as a comment, I think, from Bill Daly. But I understand why people are second-guessing the Blackhawks because of Kyle Beach and everything that happened. That's human nature, you know, same organization. But from what we can piece together so far, I think the Hawks have seemingly responded pretty swiftly here once they found out what they found out. And again, I just want to be careful that, you know, people are speculating all kinds of things. The other thing we should point out, and I think CJ pointed this out on Insider Trading, is that the NHLPA is also reviewing the matter, and Corey Perry, you know, they have 60 days to file a grievance if they want, because his contract's being terminated. But this is not a joking matter, right? There's something that's transpired here, and I think it's just tough in today's world. You know, people run with things, and it was a pretty ugly couple of days on social media.
Yeah, I'll just say this, guys, and without, you know, until they want to confirm the details, I don't know exactly what happened, but they've shed enough light. I know everybody wants answers and criticizes Chicago. You could have, you know, stopped all this speculation by saying more. They can't say more for a variety of reasons. Most importantly, there's somebody else involved in this situation. that is not Corey Perry. And that person deserves the respect, the privacy, and the legal right to not maybe have everything that's happened been put in public. I think what Chicago has done, and I understand, they deserve no benefit of the doubt given their track record. It feels to me like they're doing everything in their power this time to support the other person in this situation, not the player, even at the expense of the player, at the expense of their players and their team and the brand and innuendo and all that stuff, because they're trying to do what's right by the other person. That other person, whatever happened there, doesn't want that story out there, doesn't want to have to deal with the fallout of this. And they have to respect that and try to support that person, not just the player. Supporting the player and the team is what got them in trouble last time. And I think they're going smartly the other way. So don't forget that there's someone else here besides Corey Perry that deserves attention and care in this conversation. So I think that's the priority. And we may never hear the exact details from the parties involved, because if Corey Perry doesn't want to grieve this, if he accepts the decision, just goes into retirement and deals with his own life, then we probably won't hear it. And that'll have to be fine, because as long as the other person involved is getting taken care of, then that's the priority.
I think a lot of people kind of mistake their curiosity with the Hawks' obligation of some sort, and that's just not the case. I think that's really well put, Johnny. Pierre, the one thing that stood out to me was how quickly they moved to, you know, put him on waivers for the purposes of terminating the contract. Just from a mechanic standpoint, that would be something that they would be discussing with the league, would they not? Like, here's what happened. Here's the action we're going to take. Because you don't take terminating a contract lightly. Mm-hmm. And waiting a day or two, or letting things play out a little bit, or whatever needed to happen, they move quickly to take this action. And you'd think that would be in conjunction with discussion with the league, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, when you terminate a player's contract, which is exceedingly difficult to do in the NHL CBA, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why when you sign a contract, you're really stuck with it in the NHL, almost more so than any other sport alive. When you terminate a contract, it ends up involving both the league and the PA. Don't forget the PA in all this, because the PA's job normally is to make sure that all the grounds have been met that meet the criteria of being able to terminate a contract. So all the relevant, and I guess that's why Bill Daly said, you know, the Blackhawks have been transparent in this process so far. So yeah, we'll see where this goes. And like I said, the PA does have 60 days to decide whether they're okay with all this, you know, in terms of, and I know that might bother some people, because they're like, and again, we don't even know everything, but it is the union's job to, generally speaking, a bigger picture, to always try to protect a contract that's been signed. But yeah, it's a crazy couple of days.
There's no doubt, though, guys, there are mountains of lawyers on all sides of this conversation helping to direct, like lawyers for the club, HR lawyers, legal lawyers, PA lawyers. Like, you know, you have the agent for Corey Perry, you have the, you know, like everyone is sort of helping to guide the language and what is said and what is not based on what their interests are. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, if Corey Perry thinks he's done nothing wrong, then he would grieve this. If he maybe has, or is willing to concede the punishment, then I don't think he would grieve it. It's because I don't think he'd want to have to sort of relitigate whatever happened. And I'll say this, I know it doesn't even matter at this point, but you know, people are curious, well, will somebody else sign Corey Perry? Because he'll be free to sign elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The only way somebody else signs Corey Perry is if it comes out with great detail exactly what happened. Because no organization is going to take him on at this point, I think, without, you know, sort of vetting what went on, and then sort of explaining to their fans why it's okay for them to do this. So that's how I would kind of read the TV here.
Yeah, and I listen, there's no question in my mind, a couple of contenders would be like, oh, Corey Perry, he's a playoff guy. But they would have to do their due diligence. And I don't know how they do their due diligence without calling up Kyle Davidson and asking him. And I don't know that Kyle Davidson's in a position where he can really share everything or not. I honestly don't know. I'm not. Yeah. So
yeah, and due diligence is different than it used to be. Looking into it to kind of get a sense of what happened and then making your own judgment on that, like that's right. Not due diligence anymore, right? Because Johnny, you made the point that there's somebody else involved here. So if all of a sudden Corey Perry is signed and chasing Stanley Cup glory somewhere, and it turns out that there, you know, there was something difficult that happened, and there is, you know, someone on the other side of this, whatever term you want to use, victim, whatever you want to say, that's tough, right? So it's different than it used to be. I agree with you, Johnny. I think it's probably not something that we see until much more clarity is shed on this situation, and there's a lot more miles.
There's also such a bigger conversation to be had, which I don't think is our forum, but just not just in sports and what happened here, but in politics and war and everything, but just things that take off on social media that people believe are fact. And oh goodness,
yeah,
like
it's I think Pierre, we can kind of shrug our shoulders and go, God, social media is stupid sometimes. And man, there are some dummies on Twitter, and it's unfortunate the way it goes. But I think most normal thinking people recognize that for what it is. And breathing any more life into it, to me, is like, we all know there's dumbasses out there, and it's unfortunate we all have to be exposed to them. But that's what we sign up for with social media.
Well, that family that just got dragged through the mud for 4 days didn't sign up for that, doesn't deserve that. And that is garbage that they have to 100%. Go through that. And it's going to stick with the player for a little while, that, you know, he'll hear the chirps and the sideways comments, which is crap. And the fact that his parents, like, it's just not something that they ever warranted any part of, which is what makes it more unfair than normal.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, well said. Okay, guys, let's move on from that. We are now, Johnny, I don't know if you knew this or not, buddy, we're at the three-quarter pole of the NHL season.
Look at you. Look at you.
Who says I can't learn?
You see one little comment out of the side of my mouth, and boom, you do a little research, and you come back stronger. What a leader I am.
We forgot to red card, yellow card, no card that. Let's do a quick little impromptu one, Pierre. How did you feel about Johnny stopping my sponsor read to correct my English last podcast? I'm going red card all day long. P?
I'm going to go yellow because I think he should have let you go through the sponsor read. We really, really like the sponsor read.
Kuma, right? Look.
Yes.
But
he was right to correct you, because it's actually one of the things that annoys me too. I have a few of you guys know, because I put them out on Twitter all the time. But that's one of them.
Annoying everyone.
The quarter pole thing is.
I like it. You know what, Shoggy? I'm going to say card, because Kuma deserves to have a grammatically correct read while we're promoting their amazing products. They don't want to be lumped in with this grade 2 level quarter pole nonsense.
Okay,
they are a professional company. We treat them as such.
For example, here's a few other, let's just keep going. Here's a few other.
Okay, here we go.
Let's. Good idea.
They are not locker rooms in the NHL. That's an Americanism from other sports. They are dressing rooms. If the game is 0-0 after the first period, the game is not scoreless, because there is a score. The score is 0-0.
Oh, boy.
Okay, continue.
Well, the locker room's dressing room says who?
What about says who? Like, sweater. Like, since when NHL Canada
sweater. NHL sweater. Sweater,
sweater
not jersey,
or jersey. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sweater or jersey. Like, these are too picky.
Here's another one that annoys me. The league several years ago also went to box score on its website for the forever and ever. Those were called summaries, game summaries. Now they're box scores. The box score is from other sports. Sorry.
Wow. We got some work to do to earn listeners back now, guys. So let's finish strong here, because is there anybody out there still? By the way, the one that is the conversation ender, because it's the one that has to change the most. When you throw a hit, you don't leave your feet. And everybody in hockey says it. He left his feet. Your feet leave the ice. That's the one that drives me nuts. At no point have your feet been separated from your body. Your feet have left the ice, Pierre. Look at you, just discovering this one for the first time.
Or former.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I've heard that. And that's
the
one.
That's the best one.
Well, the other one is a former first round pick. Mm. He's still a first round pick.
He's still a first round pick. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like our apologies for that, folks. Yes, apparently we are those guys.
All three of us
on one podcast. My goodness, some uppity conversation happening here. So three-quarter poll of the NHL season. Overall, guys, Stanley Cup contender. Who is distinguishing themselves overall in that category? Johnny, who do you have at this point?
As a contender, I mean, there's several, obviously, but I think Dallas goes under the radar as maybe a team that can absolutely win a Stanley Cup. Ottinger is ridiculous. They have a very good team, play a very good system. And you said it earlier, the LA Kings. And they're doing it LA without Pierre-Luc Dubois yet really hitting his full stride, contributing as much as they would expect him to. They are an awesome defensive team. The great question is in net, is Cam Talbot a Stanley Cup goalie right now? But he's been that way playing for LA. LA is friendly to their goalies. So I think LA doesn't get nearly enough attention like Boston, Rangers, Vegas, Colorado might. LA is every bit as good as those teams.
Yeah, Kings, the second best points percentage in the league as we tape this, second only to the New York Rangers. My pick is the Kings too, because it just, listen, Vegas might be there in the end, Boston, Colorado, but the Kings have done it without dips so far. They've just sort of come out and every week is consistent, which is hard to do in this league.
11 wins in their last 14 games. How about the best candidate in this moment to end Canada's 30-year cup drought, guys? You've got the Canucks playing well, Toronto-ing, Winnipeg getting better here, and maybe the Oilers are back.
You did.
Go ahead, Pierre.
Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, my God. 30 years. I was 21 years old when the Habs won the cup in 1993.
Pierre, let's take people down that memory lane. I'll give you 10 minutes. Tell us the story.
I don't want to bring back my mullet. My mullet is gone forever.
Thank goodness.
The Jets are a great story, by the way, but I can't pick them as the best chance.
The reality is, Pierre, while you hum and haw, like, I don't think there's a team out there right now that you would feel really confident saying they have a good chance of winning.
I think that's why I'm struggling.
As good as Vancouver's start was, however much we picked Edmonton to start the year, whatever you thought about Toronto's chances, none of those Winnipeg, none of those teams have been near the top five or six. I know Vancouver's record might be there, but I don't know if they're quite that good. So, yeah, I don't think any Canadian team is in the top six contenders for a cup today. Yeah.
So, like I do something. I don't know, Ryan and MJ, if you do this. Every year for the playoffs, I basically look at eight teams that I believe are in the Elite Eight, regardless of record, but in current form going into the playoffs. And of those eight, the last couple of years, I always had Edmonton and Toronto in those eight. Maybe not near the top, but among the eight teams that, if everything went well, I don't have a Canadian team in the Elite Eight right now. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep, enough said. And it, you know what? It still might be the Oilers, quite frankly. People wonder if Vancouver is for real. Edmonton is coming on, and they still have the same roster that they had when most people picked them to at least get to a conference final, if not a Stanley Cup final, if not winning at all. So it'll be interesting to see. Oilers in Winnipeg, by the way, coming up tomorrow night, I believe. Okay, guys, let's wrap the pod with a quick discussion on Patrick Kane. As reported by The Athletic and TSN's hockey insider Chris Johnston, signs a deal with the Detroit Red Wings, expected to play beginning next week, coming off that hip resurfacing surgery. A career low 0.78 points per game average in a season split between Chicago and the Rangers. Johnny, what kind of a points pace would you anticipate, Mystic One, from Patrick Kane this time around?
On a pretty good team, playing with pretty good players, even though he's coming back of injury and he's a bit older, I would expect if he plays 60 games that he would get close to 50 points. I mean, he just gets points. That's what he does. Like, he's not a perfect player. His play really dropped last year. His play driving, his assist making, and he still ended up with whatever you said, 0.78 points per game. So if he's healthier, presumably he is, and he's playing on a good team with a good power play, you know, he'll pick up his apples. Like, is he going to be the the difference maker that's going to lead them to a Stanley Cup? I don't think so. But that doesn't mean he's not still good, and they won't pick up points playing with DeBrincat and Larkin and Raymond and Perron. Like, they have good players there. So, I don't think he's going to get a point a game, but somewhere underneath it, 0.9 points per game, 0.85, something like that, because that's what he does, and he's still incredible at passing the puck around.
And it's not just the on-ice, too. Like, I know from, talking to Buffalo and Florida, the other teams that were in on this, and there were other teams as well, but teams like Buffalo and Florida didn't just see Patrick Kane help us on the ice, but Patrick Kane, the three-time Cup champion, and just what else that brings to teams that are trying to win a championship, in Buffalo's case, trying to make the playoffs. And in Detroit's case, very similar to Buffalo, except Detroit's having a better year. Detroit's ascending, young core, and now they add in a guy who's been there, done that. You know, there's all kinds of intangibles attached to that. A couple of things that is interesting here, like if Patrick Kane takes off and looks like this surgery really did the trick, I mean, I could see Detroit approaching his camp in January, February, maybe, and seeing, do we want to extend this marriage? Or maybe they wait until the offseason. But that's a possibility. The other thing is, and I think we have to mention it, I mean, listen, we all want this to work for Patrick Kane. It's a great story. I always cheer for stories. But, Nick Backstrom's probably never playing again. And he had the exact same surgery. Now, two human beings that can have the same surgery and have completely different results. We know that. But it is a rare surgery, the hip resurfacing. And so I think you have to point that out. Let's see how Kane reacts compared to Nicholas Backstrom did.
Well, what if it does go well, but it goes the wrong way for the Red Wings? Do we potentially him move to a contender, Johnny or Pierre? Like, is that...
Shoggy, this is the question I'd pose. Like, of course, Red Wings, great start. And they're really having a nice run as of late. Coming home from Sweden, they've won, I think, four in a row. Are they guaranteed? Would you bet your house on them making the playoffs?
No.
Like, they're still Boston, Tampa, who's scuffling, Florida, Toronto. All teams that I still think you'd put ahead of Detroit, even though they're not ahead of Detroit in the standings. Even with Patrick Kane on Detroit, I'd still put them ahead of Detroit. Now, it may not end up that way, but it just, and on some level, it's an aggressive move to your point, Ryan, that they may find themselves nip and tuck to make the playoffs at trade deadline time. Like, this is not like a slam dunk going to the first place team in the league where there's no chance that they could ever fall out of it, Pierre. So in that sense, it's a bit of a leap of faith to go to that team at this time.
Right. Which might put even more onus come January, because he can't sign another deal till January to actually extend him if you're Detroit, to remove that entire trade deadline narrative. I don't know. We'll see. Like, if you extend him, then he's no longer a trade chip, right? I mean, he's the only guys that we talk about mostly before March 8th are guys on expiring deals. But, that's a good point. And certainly, it's kind of crazy, because if you look at the wild card race already in the East compared to the wild card race in the West, it's night and day in terms of point totals so far. Crazy.
Pierre, you thought it was tough figuring out where Patrick Kane was going to sign. You wait till you're trying to figure out where he's going to get traded to. That will be some serious insider digging.
In the end, I mean, Detroit, Buffalo, and Florida were the teams we mentioned the most. So that's where he ended up. It would have been actually a lot more exciting if he signed with the team that we had never mentioned.
Out of the blue, right?
And he signs with Colorado.
Yeah.
never mentioned them. Yeah.
Yeah. I like how it kept you guys spinning in circles, though. But in the end, our team got it. So nice job by Chris Johnson on that story. Great job today, guys. Awesome podcast. Much appreciated. And look forward to chatting again next week, boys.
Right on. All right, Shoggy. Thanks for waking up early. You don't look tired at all.
Yeah.
You never went to bed.
Like, I look jaundiced. Is it just me? Am I yellow? And like, I have normal colored lights pointed at me and I am yellow for some reason. So that's on you, Johnny. I'm going back to bed.
You might want to get some blood work done. I don't know, have some vitamin D or whatever you need to get, because I'm getting a little bit concerned.
Yeah, no question. All right, great job, guys. Thank you so much for your downloads and your subscriptions. We appreciate it. If you get a chance, go drop us a review over on iTunes. We'd love to hear what you think of the podcast. We'll chat next week, folks. And by the way, huge thanks again to our title sponsors, Kuma Outdoor Gear. Have a great finish to your week. Talk again soon. Cheers.